Welcome. I am Alicia Wood. I'm the pastor here at University United Methodist Church. And today we also have Reverend Nelson Ruppert, who is a former pastor here at University United Methodist Church and a very dear friend of Bob. On behalf of the congregation of University United Methodist Church, I would like to welcome you. We hope and pray that this space, in this moment in time, brings you some comfort. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Dr. Bob Laubach, dad, grandpa, and friend. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort. In sorrow, hope. In death, resurrection. Will you please read with me the responsive call to worship? Let us worship God and give thanks for the good life of Dr. Bob Laubach. We thank God for sharing Bob's life with us. In the name of God, we praise God for all of life. Open me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Will you please stand if you're able and sing with us, O God, our help in ages past. You will find this in your blue book, that blue thick book, on page 117. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially, we praise you for Bob, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them, and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last to them, into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you please read with me Psalm 23? It is in your bulletin, but it is also found in the blue hymnal on page 137. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you please pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I would like to call to your attention a few verses from the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the people in Galatia. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. These are the fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? And then I would like to move to a passage in the Gospel of Matthew. In the 25th chapter, the disciples are a little uneasy. Things are not going the way they expected for the Messiah, the King of all, to come. And things needed to be explained, and Jesus did part of that in this little passage. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. You didn't even know how to read, and I helped you with that. Then those who are righteous will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Then the king will reply to them, I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it to me. This is the spirit of the word. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Now, I would like us to... Finlandia is an international language, really is. And I would like you to sing with me the one that is on 437, This Is My Song, which I think is in the spirit of the person that we are honoring today. And then we will sing the last verse of another hymn, also to Finlandia, a little later. We'll just sing the last verse to kind of bring it all together. But I think this says a great deal about our spirit and the spirit of Bob. Let's stand as we sing.
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my hope. Skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine, but other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are
seated. Except for the occasion, I'm very happy to be here. It was a good portion of my life that I spent with the people here in this church. And I welcome again the opportunity to stand behind Norman Vincent Peale's pulpit. I was told about that when I came and what that meant, and I have used all of the pulpits that I've been in the same way, because we are here to honor the past always, and to honor the past, we have to go beyond that into what it is happening today. And I believe The life of Bob Laubach is a great example of how that happens to people. He grew up in the Philippines, as most of you know. He was a missionary's son. Now that carries with it freight that some of us who lived in the United States all our time and never were a pastor's or a missionary's son can see, but a freight that he always honored. He wondered all the time about his ability to please the Lord. How can I please the Lord? He was always concerned with what his father had said. His father told him that he was answering a call, the Macedonian call. Well, Bob and I and some others here and some others went to Macedonia. We went to follow in Paul's footsteps in Greece. And even though we had discussed the Macedonian call before that, he could understand what we were talking about better when he saw Macedonia and the prison cell where Paul sat. One of Bob's pictures is me sitting in that, what all of the people who are in the tourist business want to believe was the very seat that Paul sat in. Now, you know how that is. Well, that's what we think of Patmos as, the very place where John wrote Revelation and so forth. Now, we are a little more enlightened, but we don't care whether that was the exact spot. We only care about the spirit of what was happening and what that meant for Paul and for all of the people in that area. Because Macedonia, you remember, is in Europe. So Paul was entering another whole area of the world with the gospel. And he took that as a very serious thing. We, of course, visited the springs that were the water for the very first person that was baptized in Europe, or at least we believe that that was the right spring and the right place and the right event. But all of us have gone through that. All of us have been to a place that is different than anything we've experienced before and experienced it in a way that changed our lives, like being baptized into a new faith, into a new world, into a different view of how the whole world could be. Jesus brought a new way. And Frank and his son Bob were a part of bringing that new way into another whole thing. Because Frank had in mind that he was going to the Muslim area of the Philippines. They wouldn't really let him do that for his own safety. But Bob always felt that he was a part of this movement into something new. And of course, Frank was brilliant. He was able to turn noises that people made into something that could be written down and that was literature. Bob always welcomed that really great, brilliant person that helped him be who he was. Now, I've told some of you that Bob was the gatekeeper when he was teaching at Syracuse, and Frank was also at Syracuse. And I was writing Sunday school material for the Methodist Church, And do you remember those little plastic things that they put in the back of the Sunday school books that you could put on a record player and then you could play it? The first year that they had those, the people, when we went down to Nashville to learn how we were supposed to write Methodist material, they said, can anybody think of another thing to put on that plastic disc besides just music? Now, you know that I would not put down music in that way, but I said, yeah, I think so. So I called Syracuse University in Frank's office and asked if I could interview Frank Laubach, the modern mystic, the person that was at the cutting edge of how we thought of Christianity in today's world. And Bob, of course, was the gatekeeper, and he said, well, I don't know. Do you think you could do it in 10 minutes? Of course, I said yes, because what are you going to do? If you've got 10 minutes, you better take it. It lasted 35, and Bob and I have yet to find a copy of that piece of plastic. I have the material. It includes Frank and other giants of that day that I was introducing to junior highs in this music, in this literature. It was a time when we were moving through a new way of thinking about how we would do everything. We were discussing preaching for one, singing for another. We were at the edge of a new way. And I want to tell you that today we are again at the edge of a new way. And you've experienced part of that in Bob. For he was a part of that new way. Oh, he had a lot of questions, not just what is a Macedonian call, but how do I please the Lord? And he wrote in one of his letters to me that, you know, I've finally come to the conclusion, I mean, we discussed a lot of this before, but I've finally come to the conclusion that what I'm doing for literacy is pleasing to the Lord. It was. It is, and it will be for centuries. He's pleasing the Lord in all kinds of district offices all over the U.S. Pro-literacy worldwide is the new way of saying Frank, or saying Laubach literacy, or any of the others. Each one teach one is still the idea. And people are still the way that the message is proclaimed and taught and done. And it isn't just the people that belong to the literacy programs. It's every one of you. Because you have seen some of the light. And it's time that we helped others see some of the light, at least as much as we can see, at least as much as we can say. Our feelings of loss today tell us that life is important. Not just Bob's life, your life. Death helps us look at each other in a more intimate way, in a togetherness. Now, my experience with the Laubach, Brown, all kinds of other family, that family, even though spread over the rest of the world, has a togetherness and a feeling of intimacy with each other that we don't always find in families that are dispersed. They have it, and they show it. They feel it, I know. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Dubai or Spain or Columbus, Ohio or San Francisco. You feel your togetherness, and you feel the thing that we feel at a time like this when we say, you know, we have to get together oftener. We shouldn't wait for funerals and weddings. That's the message of a funeral to all of us. Don't wait. Make sure that you make a good relationship, not just with the people that you love and know as family. And that's a big, wide world, isn't it? To the ones you think of as family. Because if you come to this place on Sunday morning regularly, it's a family. And you feel it. And then you live it. And that makes the difference of what Jesus had in mind. Family was important to Jesus in a way that a left-hand way that I want to point out, because I think one of the crucial and biggest messages of Jesus to the world was to change that which was overarching over all of our life from king to father. And wherever I've been, they usually get used to during Kingdom Tide seeing it spelled with a dash where the G is. Because Kingdom Tide, the feeling that we have of belonging with each other, is part of the importance of the shift that Jesus tried to make thousands of years ago. We are here because we want to honor the life, the deeds, the experiences of a man who stood high on the pulpit of life. Bob had a lot of questions, and we had a lot of discussions about that. Many of his questions came through editorials in the paper or movies that he watched. Movies were a big thing with Bob. He used to come down to Ithaca a few times a year so that we could watch movies together and talk far into the night. I urge you to do something like that. You know people, and you know that people are hungry to talk and to relate to each other. And part of our gathering today is because we feel that hunger and want to find a way for that hunger to repeat itself again and again. Yes, our loss tells us of our essential togetherness. Believe it and practice it. Laura had something that she wanted to say to us, and I would like her to come up and do that.
Hi, Dad. Daddy, Pops, Grandpa, Bob, Dr. Bob, or as my mother sometimes used to say, Roberto. All of these were my dad's names, and also colleague, mentor, teacher, board member, editor, writer, photographer, traveler, driving force in several organizations, faithful church supporter, peacemaker, family patriarch, and friend. We've all been so lucky, so blessed to have been part of his gentle, positive, smiling life. Certainly as children, we grew up happily immersed in the international spiritual fun kaleidoscope that was the Laubach household. Dad lovingly photographed every babyhood scene, every birthday celebration, family trip, and milestone. And likewise, he recorded his literacy work and travels. He had a journalist drive to record events to include a wider audience and to leave the present documented for posterity. Just look at his literacy work, at his love of genealogy, at his autobiography, the book, that project that took him so many happy years to develop, or the photo albums of his retirement travels and the innumerable letters and postcards sent and received with a smile. You always felt included with Dad, like part of the family. He was always, come along, or you come too, or let's invite someone, or let's have a party. And he was always interested in meeting someone new. You know, he was a connector. And he loved the people he connected, and each one loved him back. So here we are today, many lives touched by Dad, gathered together to tell him goodbye. We honor his memory, and we want to tell him, thanks for the visit, come again soon. And he would answer, I will, keep smiling. Thank you for coming.
And we will keep smiling. I see most of them, the smiles out there. Let's unite our our minds and our bodies and our souls in an attitude of prayer. We thank you, God, for Bob, who is so near and dear to us, and who now has been taken from us. We thank you for the friendship that went out from him and the peace and joy he brought to us and to many others. We pray that nothing of his life will be lost, but that he will be a part of the world in benefits to the world through all of us. That all that he held dear may be respected by those of us who follow after him, and that everything in which he was great may continue to mean much to us now that he is dead. We ask you that Bob may go on living in his family and his friends, in their minds and their hearts, their courage and their conscience. We ask that we who were related to Bob may now, because of his life and his death, be even more closely related to each other, and that we may, in this togetherness and peace and friendship here on earth, always be deeply conscious of your promise to be faithful to us in death. We pray for any who may be severely tested by Bob's death, that they may not try to minimize the loss or seek refuge from it in their work or their words, and also that we do not brood over it so that it overwhelms us and isolates us from others. God, grant us the courage and the confidence to face life in all its fullness. And we ask all with great confidence because of the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We are thankful for your love as we've experienced it in Bob. And we ask you to give us the strength to carry it on. Now, I would like to ask you all to turn to another page in the hymnal, 534, and have us sing the third verse of that as the conclusion of our time together, our time together with Bob. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last. And I'd like you to remain standing for just a moment as we have a time of committal. The committal is something that will take place in Benton, Pennsylvania, and I think there may be a few of you that won't make the trip. So we need to make the trip here and now. And let us in prayerful silence say, Almighty God, into your hands we commend your son, Bob, in sure and certain hope of resurrection to life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. His body we will commit to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But Bob's spirit we commend to God. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them, and their love remains with us. We thank God for those we have loved but no longer see. Receive them into your arms. May light eternal shine upon them, O Lord, with your saints forever. For you are merciful, eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon him. With your saints forever, for you are merciful. And then in the words of Paul from Romans, we receive a benediction. We do not live for ourselves. We do not die for ourselves. We live and we die for our Lord God, for we are the Lord's. Amen. And I would ask you to be seated and listen to the postlude.